You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Thank you, everyone, for being here with us on this Friday. I'm Rhonda McBride. Our next guest on Juno Afternoon has followed the ins and outs of the state budget since he was a young man and had a hand in creating our permanent fund dividend as a legislative staffer who helped craft this legislation. Cliff Groh is a writer and attorney, and he says that he comes to Juno now to track the special session as simply Citizen Cliff. He says his job is to save the state of Alaska, and one that he doesn't draw a paycheck for. His bosses, he says, are you, me, and every Joe and Jane in Alaska. So I hope that there are others besides you, Clifford, that are working to save the state.
Well, a lot of people are, Rhonda, and I cringe when you say this because, of course, if that were really my job in a traditional sense, I would have been fired long ago, as someone pointed out recently. I'm just glad, as I also joke, that there's nobody preparing any performance evaluations for me. But I'm very interested in what happens and is happening with our state fiscal system, which is the way the state of Alaska saves money, collects it, and spends it. And I have, as you noted, worked on in this area off and on for more than 40 years, both while working for the Alaska legislature, the Alaska Department of Revenue as a special assistant to the commissioner, and also as a private citizen. And involved in both with organizations and also now in my current role as you said, Citizen Cliff Groh.
Citizen Cliff. So is anybody sponsoring you? Anybody paying for your efforts here in Juno?
No, I just do this myself. I paid to come down and left behind my wife and my home in Anchorage. I'm a former Juno resident, but I've lived in Anchorage for a long time now. And came down here, a friend of mine said, hey, Cliff, you could stay at a place at a house he has on Chicken Ridge, which is where I'm staying. But no, I buy my own groceries, pay my expenses, and I feel lucky to be able to try to help.
Why?
This is really important, Rhonda, and I think I can be helpful. So I write a daily dispatch, which I send out by email. If I could get some help, I'd figure out a way and had some time, I'd start up a blog again. I also place some of my work as op-eds in newspapers and other media outlets around the state. And then I meet with legislators, staff members, other observers, and I try to talk to them, maybe help bring them together and talk about possible approaches that could help address and perhaps resolve our state's very substantial structural deficit.
So week one, what was that like? What did you do? What did you find out? What's your sense of things?
Rhonda, it's not real favorable in the sense that back in May and June, when the governor first announced, and shortly after he first announced the first special session, I thought there were some possibilities for what I would call a big fix. And when I say a big fix, I mean a big fix that is sustainable to address and maybe eliminate our state's, as I said, very substantial structural deficit. I'm less optimistic now because I thought that that there would be more cooperation and more compromise and less rigid adherence to previously stated positions that are mutually contradictory, far apart. And I would say that if you find Alaska politics about the budget and about taxes and about dividends complicated, it's because they are. I've said repeatedly, and an expert just emailed me today, that a national expert said, hey, Cliff, you're right about this. Alaska has the most complicated fiscal politics in the United States. The fiscal policy is not simple about the percent of market value system for sustainable spending and per fund earnings. And oil taxes, could be pretty complicated, but it's our fiscal politics, and especially the number of sides we have in our politics that make Alaska's fiscal politics, as I said, the most complicated in our whole country.
Well, one of the things I wanted you to do is talk about an editorial you wrote for the Anchorage Daily News, and the headline was Alaska's Cockpit Standoff and the Need to Land the Plane. And I guess I should start off by asking you, this fiscal plane that we're on, how much time do we have up in the air? Are we running out of fuel? What's the issue here?
Yeah, I sometimes said, well, the plane is running out of fuel. It might even be on fire, Rhonda, maybe both, but definitely running out of fuel, because the state of Alaska faces very substantial deficits under current law going forward. And the way to understand Alaska fiscal politics is, in every other state, there's essentially a two-sided wrestling match. There's a wrestling match between people who want more services versus people who don't want to pay more taxes. And that's the traditional wrestling match, you know, from, you're going to see from Florida to California, from Maine to Arizona. But in Alaska, it's all different. It's not like a two-sided wrestling match. What we have in Alaska is what best understood as essentially a hopped-up cross between the movies Reservoir Dogs and Snakes on a Plane. And the best way to understand it is that there's an airplane flying along with running out of fuel, and there are five people in the cockpit pointing guns at each other. So they have a gun in each hand. If they could figure out a way to hold a gun accurately in their mouth, they'd all be doing that too. And then the five people, at least five people holding guns in the cockpit, holding guns on each other in the cockpit, are first, and they're defined most and best by what they're most afraid of. So the first group, first person holding guns on the others in the cockpit, is the person in the group of Alaskans who's most afraid of more additional budget cuts. The state of Alaska's cut its budget a lot in the last 8 years, particularly in the capital budget, but in the operating budget as well. And there's a group of people most afraid of more budget cuts, like maybe a parent of a young child who's worried that additional budget cuts would threaten their child's education. Then there's a second person pointing guns in the cockpit at all the others, and that's the person would be most afraid of having Alaska bring back broad-based taxes. Alaska is the only state in the country without a broad-based tax of any kind. And this person who's most afraid of broad-based taxes coming back to Alaska would be perhaps particularly a person who's most afraid of the state of Alaska bringing back a personal income tax on a graduated basis like Alaska had between 1949 and 1980.
So what do they have at stake? I mean, how much money is involved for some?
Well, there's some millionaires in Alaska, Rhonda, and I've met some. I've met a surgeon who made $5.5 million in net income in 1 year. Net income is, you know, after you pay the nurses and pay the rent and pay for the equipment. And made $5.5 million in net income in 1 year. And, you know, there's some other people highly paid in Alaska, like I think of some corporation executives, I think of surgeons, I think of specialty physicians, and they're very unhappy and concerned about the possibility that the state of Alaska would bring back a personal income tax, particularly on a graduated basis. And there's also, you know, other broad-based taxes that occur as well. That's sort of the purest form. The third person holding guns in the cockpit on each other would be the person who's most afraid of additional dividend cuts in permanent dividends from the statutory baseline, the baseline from that's in the law today with a formula that was created in the 1980s. And, you know, you could think of a lot of people who might be like that in both urban and rural Alaska. The fourth person holding guns in the cockpit at each other is someone who's most afraid of higher rail taxes. You might think of an oil company executive or an oil company roughneck in that category. And the fifth person holding guns and the other four people in the cockpit is someone who's most afraid that the state of Alaska will overdraw the permanent fund earnings, overdraw the permanent fund, and spend too much of the permanent fund earnings and erode the value of the permanent fund going forward, so it has less ability to help support the state of Alaska's spending in the future. And when I think of that person, I think of a person who wants to live in Alaska and expects to live in Alaska a long time. I often see that some of the most powerful people in Alaska are people who want to leave soon. And if you want to leave soon, you don't care about this. But if you think that you're going to be living in Alaska in the year 2040 or the year 2045, you might be particularly concerned about having the state spend its permanent earnings away.
So it seems like the permanent fund dividend is sort of at the heart of this debate. And I wonder, when you and other staffers were crafting the legislation to create this, did you imagine this five-gun standoff in the cockpit? And it's destructive, this debate.
The permafund dividend is a powerful force in Alaska politics. It's become way more powerful than I ever thought it would be, and it's become different than I ever thought it would be. But it's a fact that it exists, and people have to figure out how to deal with it now. And I will tell you that I published three books or booklets last year offering my my observations about both the problem we have and reviewing the possible potential solutions and proposing, one myself, the Alaska plan, as I like to call it. I first called it the GROW plan. One of my friends said, Cliff, you're not popular enough to have a plan named after yourself. You should call it the Alaska plan. I think other people try to use that name too. But I do think people need to think really clearly about the choices, and there are important decisions to be made right now, because the state has spent almost all the savings, effectively all the savings, outside the permanent fund. And the big oil money is not coming in the way that it used to. And that's the reason where we are today. And people in Alaska need to think really clearly about what they want and what the actual choices are, and not fall for bumper sticker slogans that might sound attractive but are equally wrong.
So, observing what you've observed this week and from what you're hearing.
Last week, too.
Are we any further along?
I think that I applaud the work of the legislature's comprehensive fiscal plan working group. And they worked this summer, a bipartisan group of legislators, a bicameral group, members of the House and Senate, Republicans, Democrats, and independent. And they produced a document 8 pages long. You can get it from the legislature. And it really helped set out the problem and work toward a solution. And I think that, unfortunately, not all legislators went through that process. 60 legislators and only 8 went through the process. Run to the state of Alaska would be better if all 60 went through it, because we have the most divided fiscal politics in the United States, both the most complicated and the most divided, and a lot of people who don't seem interested in a compromise. And that's setting us up for the plane crashing in the mountain, a very bad outcome.
And by a bad outcome, you mean not enough money to fund important programs, and
sure,
where people really feel some pain and suffering.
Sure. And yeah, and then there was talk about proposals made at one of the few committees meetings that happened in the first 2 weeks, because a lot of people have been out of town, a lot of people left. But the House Finance Committee had one meeting, and so the director of Legislative Finance Agency was asked, what is the effect if we adopt this amendment? And he says, well, we have only $300,000 left in the general fund, because we're operating at a smaller margin now because of both the spending of the reserves, the legal issues surrounding the constitutional budget reserve, and we operate a much smaller margin now. We have less money, and we just face difficult choices. And a lot of people don't seem to want to actually make the choices, and that's why I'm particularly worried that all the permanent fund earnings will get spent, because that's the people who are holding the guns, who represent the future, are perhaps the least powerful Alaskans.
Well, in just closing our conversation here, and I really hope that you can come back and tell us more as we go forward in this. I'm sure it doesn't sound like there's going to be a quick resolution to the state's fiscal crisis.
No, I do not think so. Rather, there'll be more time for us to talk about it, and I'm all in and coming back and talking to you.
And have some other perspectives involved as well.
Sure.
But just in wrapping things up for today, what's on the radar for next week? What are you looking to find out?
I think there's going to be more attention and exposure given to that report and some hearings on the Comprehensive Fiscal Plan Working Group. I think that that's a useful thing. I also think there's going to be a budget moves through this to fix some of the problems, including right now, if that budget doesn't go through, there will be no dividend this year. There'll be a zero dividend. And so right now there's a game of chicken over what the size of the dividend will be. And the result might be, just like the car crash that kills all people in both cars, that there's no dividend at all. So people of Alaska need to think really clearly and follow, like I said, the activities of the legislature and get more involved in this discussion and debate.
You know, and I don't think that it's a good omen that you are staying in a house on Chicken Ridge.
I always try to be hopeful and optimistic. Rhonda, we'll see if it works.
All right.
I feel lucky to be here.
Thank you. We are lucky to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Cliff
Rhonda.
Gross, Citizen Cliff. Pumping out Cliff Notes for anyone who wants them. And just real quick, if they want your Cliff Notes, where
they can
they go?
Email me. They email me at cliff.groh@gmail.com. That's cliff.groh@gmail.com.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And I'll let you get back to your very important job of saving the state.
Oh, thank you, Rhonda.
All right. Well, we're not done with the permanent fund dividend today. Stay with us. Coming up, another take on the permanent fund dividend, this one from Hurricane Dave. But can you trust anybody with a name like Hurricane Dave? Find out when we come back.
Just because we live up here, how you spend it don't matter to me. Get an old truck or a new TV.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.